BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Okay, I think, yeah, we're recording now, so.
This is Rob. He lives in eastern Canada.
We're kind of ending our winter season, so there's a little bit of snow left on the ground.
Recently, I got in touch after seeing some of his posts online about world events.
My knowledge on this stuff just comes from my personal interests in researching the geopolitical situations and just trying to tie all that stuff together.
Some of the conclusions he was drawing were a little, well, out there, like when COVID hit.
Right away, I was suspicious of the whole thing, immediately. I never bought any of it, to be honest.
And Rob, who doesn't believe the pandemic was real, thinks we're all being misled about the war in Ukraine.
People that were suspicious about the COVID narrative are also suspicious that the truth is being told about exactly what's going on in Ukraine.
Because for Rob, both crises are really part of a shadowy plot to install a tyrannical global government.
I think the overarching theme is to implement the World Economic Forum's plans for the Great Reset.
I'm Mariana Spring, and I'm the BBC's specialist disinformation reporter. As the war in Ukraine deepens, it's clear that Russia's armed assault is accompanied by an onslaught of disinformation, waged by trolls, state media, and influencers, both online and beyond. In this series, I've been looking at the extraordinary information war fought over Ukraine, and the people being sucked into it. So far, I've been speaking to those who've been directly affected by the military conflict. But this episode is a bit different. That's because disinformation about the war has also fueled existing conspiracy movements around the world, which on the face of it appear to have nothing to do with Russia or Ukraine. So if you're wondering what the Great Reset is and what it's got to do with the World Economic Forum, we'll be getting to that later. For now, let's just say they are key elements in a set of conspiratorial ideas which have led people, like Rob, to believe that the war is part of a sinister plot, along with COVID and vaccines. So who believes this stuff? And why? I'm Mariana Spring, and for Radio 4, this is War on Truth. I want to understand why Rob thinks the way he does. And, like many people I've interviewed about conspiracy theories and outlandish claims online, he says the root of his mistrust began with the September the 11th terrorist attacks.
I think my journey started when I started to have questions about 9/11. Back then is when I really started to wonder, like, if the media was telling the truth or not.
Through his interest in conspiracy theories about the Twin Towers, he started searching obscure corners of the internet for information.
I generally try to go with platforms that are the least censored. I mean, I kind of just look for what you're not allowed to say, and then I look at the platforms that are letting people say that stuff.
These days, he seeks out this sort of content on the encrypted messaging app Telegram, including posts by the British far-right activist Tommy Robinson.
Now, I don't agree with everything these people say, but I find Tommy Robinson, you guys may have heard of him, he catches a lot of flack in the UK. He posts a lot of good memes. I like what he's saying.
Why do you trust the people who are saying what they're not allowed to say? Because surely what they're not allowed to say could also be wrong or harmful.
I don't know about that. I think I disagree with that statement, you know? When we're looking at tyrannical governments, it's the people being censored that were actually telling the truth.
When the pandemic hit, Rob was mistrustful of the message shared by most media outlets and governments, as well as the scientific evidence. He found a local community of people online who shared his beliefs. Rob says the group had posts about adverse reactions to the vaccines and doctors denying the existence of COVID.
Yeah, that group had like a huge amount of people, especially for the size of our province, and Facebook eventually just deleted it on us.
Why did they delete it?
I mean, they're trying to censor anything that goes against the COVID narrative, right? I mean, that's pretty obvious for anybody who's trying to say anything other than what the mainstream narrative is.
So what does Rob think is actually going on?
Well, I mean, geez, it's just so much to unpack with that. But, you know, the way it was handled was obviously catering to the type of world that the Davos group want to create, the World Economic Forum people. Because I've already known, like, that they were going to try to implement some kind of a social credit system for a while.
Here's where it gets a bit complicated. Why is Rob talking about the World Economic Forum, the organisation that hosts a gathering of political and business leaders at the Swiss ski resort of Davos every year? Well, these are all common tropes of an unfounded conspiracy theory, often referred to as the Great Reset. It's the idea that a global elite is trying to establish a shadowy new world order, a super government that will control the lives of citizens around the world. Digital ID cards or social credit systems are seen by Rob to be part of this wider pattern of control. It's a worldview that has proved all-encompassing, especially since it's rooted in such deep distrust, because those who believe that elements of the pandemic were somehow staged have turned that mindset towards the war in Ukraine.
People that were suspicious about the COVID narrative are also suspicious that the truth is being told about exactly what's going on in Ukraine.
Why do people think that both COVID and the war are untrue or not as they seem?
I think it's all geopolitical chess moves to implement the plan. Like, to me, the whole COVID thing they switched really quick to this war, as they call it.
Just then you said the war, or as they call it. What do you mean?
I honestly don't put it past the global leaders to like create events to incite war and incite different whatever they want to happen. And I think oftentimes that is what's happening, is militants within the country itself creating these events and then blaming Russia in this case.
If you're finding this a little hard to follow, you're not the only one. Rob couldn't explain to me exactly how staging a war in Ukraine would bring about the Great Reset. And while it's a view that might sound pretty fringe, Rob is by no means alone. In fact, I've been speaking to a range of people who are now posting unfounded claims that partially overlap with Russian disinformation, like this idea that Ukraine is bombing itself, but also that this is part of the Great Reset and a sinister global agenda. And while Rob has influences from the far right, I've also spoken to a COVID skeptic in London with similar ideas who considers herself left-wing. She believes Ukraine is faking events, like the attack on the hospital in Mariupol. It's clear these ideas are being shared across the world and the political spectrum. But why has this shift happened? And how widespread has it become?
I'm Rachel Schreyer. I'm the BBC's health and disinformation reporter, and I also focus on global fact-checking.
Rachel monitors hundreds of groups online that share misinformation about COVID.
And there's definitely been a really clear trend towards talking about Ukraine. So, for example, when we were talking about the idea of the Great Reset, people who were previously talking about the fact that COVID was either a hoax or being used as an excuse to usher in this system of control are now talking about the war as also being an excuse, or even Putin as being demonised because he was opposed to the Great Reset, opposed to the New World Order, and therefore that's what's really behind it, that's what's going on.
Rachel has seen this switch play out in posts online, and also from some of the figureheads of the COVID conspiracy movement as they've turned their attention to Ukraine.
So one wellness influencer who I've been monitoring, who went from very much pushing anti-vaccine misinformation to now on her Telegram channel has really pivoted to talking about Ukraine and pushing this conspiracy theory that Ukraine is developing biological weapons in a lab. But at the same time on Facebook and Twitter and those more mainstream platforms, which she might be monetizing potentially, she's steering clear of that. She's sticking to the health and wellness tips, the here are some common drugs you might want to avoid, let your body heal itself naturally, and so on.
The critical point here is that the pandemic has led to a boom in the conspiracy movement on social media. Many of us have spent more time online in the past 2 years. The distress and upheaval of the pandemic has led some to search for different explanations about what's going on. And that has contributed to an even bigger captive audience when it comes to disinformation around what's happening in Ukraine right now.
The information space and perhaps the trauma of the last couple of years as well has created a group of people quite vulnerable to bad information when it is floating around. And when another huge world event comes along, it almost becomes this perfect like vessel for those beliefs to be placed in.
How much is this about a way of thinking, a central narrative that actually sucks in new terrifying world events, everything from 9/11 over a decade ago to the pandemic? Now we're seeing it with the war in Ukraine. Is that how it works?
In some ways, it's not about the event itself. It's about a particular mindset, which is this deep distrust in what you're being told, a real questioning of everything. I think sometimes people unfairly think, oh, people who've bought these things are stupid or gullible, but it's almost the opposite of gullibility. It is a hyper questioning of everything.
So what impact does this have on people's lives? A lot of friends and family members of those who've fallen deep into conspiracies about COVID-19 had hoped that, as life in lots of places starts to return to normal, their loved one's way of looking at the world might do too. But for one man I've been speaking to who's concerned about a friend, that was wishful thinking. We're calling him Dan and his friend Sally.
Sally was somebody who was instant fun to meet. I mean, she's a lively, clever, beautiful, amusing person.
Dan met Sally through a mutual female friend.
They'd go and do the school run and sort of hang around for a bit afterwards for kind of large glasses of white wine in the garden. And I was, as a man, somewhat lucky to be admitted to this kind of wine mum world.
When the pandemic struck, Dan's spirits would be lifted by some of Sally's posts online.
She'd be the one to send round daft memes about shortages and toilet paper and all this sort of thing.
But over time, Dan began to notice a shift.
She sort of got quite involved in anti-lockdown stuff. I mean, she went on some of the marches. The arguments were about elite control of the masses and wanting to keep people in their place. Also, I mean, she did say a couple of times that COVID didn't really exist, which was kind of difficult for me because I got it. But even then, I just sort of let it slide. I don't know why she thinks I spent a whole month more or less bedridden, but okay.
Dan thinks that a combination of too much time on social media during lockdown, as well as Sally's questioning, curious mindset, led her to this point. And when Russia invaded Ukraine in February, Sally's messages and posts changed. For Dan, who has spent time in Ukraine, it was the final straw.
My reaction against the sharing of pro-Russian content on Ukraine was very quick and negative, and that's my reasons. I have personal reasons for that. I'm sure to her it wasn't actually anything really different from COVID.
It started with a meme she shared, but it descended into private messages containing unfounded claims that the Ukrainian president has been, quote, murdering thousands of Ukrainians, and that the mainstream media has been covering up what's really happening. She talks about bioweapon labs and repeats claims that Ukraine is full of neo-Nazis. And Dan felt like COVID had laid the groundwork.
It was almost as if the COVID movement was almost sort of mental preparation for the sort of intellectual leaps that people make over sort of Russia and Ukraine. The ability to just sort of react in a knee-jerk way that if the BBC or the government say up is up, your kind of reflex is to say no, up is down. And they're trying to hide it from you.
Dan decided that after this, he just couldn't engage with Sally online or off.
My reaction was strong and emotional, and I just broke off all social media contact. I feel that there was something actually quite obscene about buying Russian propaganda in this war.
He's still not sure he made the right decision.
Maybe I should have had the difficult conversation earlier rather than just walking away. But in a sense, by walking away, maybe in future there's a chance that we can be friends again.
Do you think this is her way of coping with it? Because it sounds like the pandemic triggered it. The pandemic was really hard for all of us. I'm sure if she's a, like you say, you know, a compassionate and kind person, seeing the kinds of images we're seeing coming out of Ukraine, it's quite hard to make sense of.
Yeah, I think there's an emotional temptation that some people fall into, that this thing is so horrible. You want not to believe it happened. It's almost preferable. It's almost easier to believe that there is some sort of mistake, story, whatever.
I think it's easy to dismiss the views of people like Sally or Rob as being fringe. But this is widespread, and it matters. Apart from fracturing relationships and denying the horrific reality experienced by Ukrainians on the ground, it sows division and confusion. These people in their bedrooms from the UK to Canada to the US are often vectors for promoting Russian disinformation, like false claims that photos of the most horrific attacks on civilians, for example, are staged. I have one final exchange with Rob. Just for someone listening who lost a loved one to coronavirus, or who knows someone in Ukraine who's living through a really terrifying time, they might find what you're saying really hard to hear and quite upsetting to hear.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
I don't think people should be insulted that I don't think the leaders of countries have our best intentions in mind. That's really all I'm saying.
Don't you just think that bad things happen, and that doesn't necessarily mean that there's a more complex plot?
No. I mean, obviously bad things happen, but no. You'd have a hard time swaying me that those events were random and not part of a plan.
I'm Mariana Spring, and that was the fifth episode of War on Truth. Please do get in touch with us if you have stories you want to share or things you'd like us to investigate. You can contact me by email at mariana.spring@bbc.co.uk.
Hello, I've got a story to tell you. It's called The Coming Storm, a new podcast series from BBC Radio 4 and the World Service. On January the 6th, 2021, a mob stormed the Capitol in Washington, D.C. It looked like a strange fantasy had gripped America, about how a cabal of satanic paedophiles had stolen an election.
All of this is black magic.
I'm Gabriel Gatehouse, and I've been looking for the origins of this twisted tale.
It was a puzzle, and it kind of compiled a story.
But what began as a quest to understand a conspiracy theory known as QAnon turned into something else, something bigger.
It is remarkable where we've ended, and we haven't ended, have we?
Subscribe to The Coming Storm on BBC Sounds.